Welcome to the Lasting Journey podcast. My name is Jamin Gurker. My mission is to help you build an intentional and significant legacy for yourself and your family by coaching you in real estate. And today we're going to very lucky to be joined by Riley and Delaney, who actually just moved from Abilene, Texas, all the way to South Central Alaska, specifically in Eagle River. And they're going to be talking about their experience and, you know, all the ups and downs along the way and what they think about Alaska and Eagle River specifically. So Riley and Delaney, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So let's just jump in here. So what got you guys initially thinking about moving to Alaska? I mean, I've lived in kind of West Texas myself for a long time, and Alaska is really not the go-to topic in that part of the country. So what got you guys thinking about it?
Well, it's actually kind of funny because when we first started dating over 5 years ago, this was our goal individually, and then it became our goal as a couple. And so it was funny. I was like, yeah, one day I think I want to move to Alaska. And he was like, me too. And so we kind of bonded over that. So here we are.
So 5 years. And what was it that made you guys start thinking about it initially? Were you guys able to come up here and visit at some point? Or
She came up when she was...
real young, like 12-ish.
Yeah. I had never been up, but I'd been able to travel the world with my family. My dad's in the military, so I'd seen a whole lot of different places, but never been up here. But so when we started kind of talking about it, it was a bucket list item for me, and it was one... it was a place that she had been that she really enjoyed and wanted to go back to. And we were both kind of like, hey, I kind of like to move there one day. And I was like, hey, me too. I was like, cool. You want to go out?
Yeah. That's a great first date question.
Yeah. Right.
Before you ask anything else.
Yeah.
So Delaney, where did you guys go when you were up here?
Yeah, we kind of went everywhere. We started here in Anchorage, and then we went up to Denali, and I believe we went down to Homer, did some deep-sea halibut fishing there. Like I said, I was real young. I don't remember everywhere that we went, but I remember doing a lot of alpine hiking and complaining about it the whole time.
Of course.
But it's just beautiful up here in the summers, and so it was always my goal to get back up here. So,
outstanding. So what got you guys, okay, so that's like 5 years ago, we're thinking about it, and what led you guys from Abilene, Texas to living here in South Central Alaska now?
Well, you know, it started out as kind of, I've always dreamed of doing this. You know, we were dating, and when I was getting ready to graduate college, we were seriously considering it. We were considering me graduating and moving up here and me getting my first job just up here. But we both got offered really good jobs in Texas, and we just decided, you know, this is the place to stay for right now. Kind of the easiest transition from college to career. So that's what made us stay in Texas initially. But it was always kind of one of those things that was in the back of our mind. And after we had... I spent, 4 years of my career, 4.5 years of my career, and it was going great, you know, enjoying it, but we were always just kind of talking about we want to go somewhere else, you know, and we felt like Alaska might be too far, a little bit too far from family, and just also, you know, you go from 100-degree weather to... you know, negative 50 if you're going, you know, far up north. You know, of course, that's not here in Anchorage or Eagle River or nothing, but it can be. I guess like when we visited, it was negative 26 at one point.
Yeah.
Out in January.
Good times.
But yeah, so we thought, oh, that's just too crazy. And we started looking at, you know, Colorado. We looked at Utah.
Yeah.
At one point.
Montana. Wyoming.
Yeah, so we looked at a lot of different places, but, out of the kind of list we had of things we wanted to do and what we wanted the place that we lived to have, Anchorage checked all those boxes. And Well, I guess Eagle River checked all those boxes.
Alaska in general.
Right, yeah.
You know, we just kept coming back to Alaska.
So finally it was kind of, I think it was not even a year ago that we were saying, okay, seriously, if we want to leave, we should do it now. And where do we really want to go? So
we made a pact with each other. We said, okay, we're going to go all in on something. And our two options were moving here to Alaska or purchasing the house right next to his parents' house out in the country.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, we got to pick one thing. What do we want our life for the next 10 years to look at or look like? And we really talked about it, prayed about it. I mean, it was just such a big decision. And finally, one night, we were sitting by the fire at our house in Texas, and I looked at Riley and I said, let's go all in Alaska. And so that was just kind of the final decision moment. We're going all in. So,
yeah. And I got to say, all the couples I've worked with, you guys are definitely up there for the all in category.
We've heard that several times.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you guys were kind of telling me a little bit about like your first home purchasing experience like down in Texas, and then you came up here for January, and I mean at the time the thought process there was you're just going to be renting at first. Mm-hmm. So I mean going into it with that energy and you know still kind of explaining the area a little bit so you guys kind of know what you're getting into, kind of turn you loose, and literally that day get a call. It's like, yeah, we're going to buy something instead. We've seen what's available out here to rent. And I was like, okay, we just went 0 to 100 so fast.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do quite a few times is when we make up our minds on something, it's pretty much, all right, let's get it done.
Yeah. Let's not think about it. You know, I mean, obviously responsibly think about it. Can we actually purchase something versus rent? But let's go all in. Let's buy something up here. You know, let's not have an excuse to, in 6 months, turn around and go back to Texas.
Right. Well, and not just having an excuse to turn around and go back, but also committing to where we're at, you know, giving it the old college try, you know, really, really digging in and saying, like, if we're going to give this a shot, let's give it a shot and not just dip our toes in the water and see how it feels. And then, nope, never mind. We're out of here, especially with breakup season as going as it is.
Oh my word.
This is not a great season, but summer's right around the corner, right?
That's what we keep telling ourselves. So for those of you who don't know, we've been getting like snow every morning for like a week at this point, and it is about mid-April.
Yeah,
snow in the morning and mud and wet in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's like it's a little snow and it melts off, but you know it corrodes your soul.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yep. It does.
Yep.
What were some of the big concerns, like worries, reservations you guys had as you were considering making the move?
I would say one of the big ones was just the massive change in environment and weather. I've been able to travel the world with my family, but I've pretty much lived in Texas. So I'm very much used to 100-degree summers and, you know, cold winters, but you just don't do anything in the winter. There aren't winter activities to do. There's not skiing or anything like that. I mean, if you leave the state, there is, which takes 12 hours. But for the most part, you know, there's not a whole lot of winter activities. So the complete 180 in environment and weather was something that we were concerned with, even both of us being accustomed in some ways to cold weather and mm-hmm. enjoying winter activities and having done it. You know, we've been on ski trips with our families before and that kind of stuff, but living somewhere that like this, it was, we were really talking a lot about like, okay, what is it going to be like when it's not 20 degrees for a week, it's 20 degrees for the next 6 months or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, is that really something that we're going to be okay with? And even if we're not okay with it, is that something we're prepared to accept? Like, okay, we're going to make this move. We need to be aware that that could be a reality, you know. So that was probably our biggest concern.
Well, and we were also concerned about leaving family and friends behind. You know, we had a really good support group there in Abilene. You know, we had our families to lean on. We had our friends. And so just that support system. And now up here, we're brand new, have no friends at this point. You know, we're getting plugged into a church and all that stuff, but we don't have any family. You know, we can't just hop in the car, drive 20 minutes down the road, and have a game night with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we did that all the time when we lived in Abilene. So not having that, especially expecting our first child, it was kind of like, okay, is this going to be a really, really big thing? Or are we going to make do? You know, so we had a long conversation about that.
Yeah, not having a support system where, you know, her car breaks down and I'm at work, there's not a whole lot of people she can call to say, hey, you know, Riley's working, can you come get me, you know.
We're lucky enough to have his brother's wife is from Anchorage, so her parents are here. So we're lucky to have extended family here, but it's still that, you know, we don't really know him. We've met him a couple of times, so it's...
And it's just every room you walk into, you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, good thing about Eagle River is that's kind of a short-lived problem.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just like, oh, how many people am I going to run into at the grocery store?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we see the same checkout lady at Walmart every time we go. And she's just, hey, how are y'all like in Alaska? You know, because we told her we had just moved up here from Texas.
And we met her when we were visiting.
Yeah.
In January. And then when we moved up here, she was like, oh, y'all moved up here. Great. Good to see y'all again. And then obviously, you know, we live, you know, 33 seconds from Walmart. So every time we're in there now, she's always the one checking us out and we're always chatting with her. So, yeah, Eagle River has been, I think it's been good for us just because it's been very small and it's more what we're accustomed to from kind of small towns.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of Alaska towns in general. I mean, even Anchorage is like, man, I think it's like just barely bigger than Abilene.
Yeah, I think like, Abilene was 116.
Okay, so it's probably a bit bigger than that, but for being the biggest city like in the state compared to like Dallas or Houston or wherever is like just no comparison.
Yeah. Which is good. We're not big city people.
No, we're not. We get very stressed when we have to go visit. You know, my parents, they live in the Dallas area, and driving up there, we never really argue unless we're in the car in traffic because it's just stressful, you know, and we just didn't want to live in that stressful environment. So Eagle River is just kind of perfect because we're 20 minutes from Anchorage, but we don't have that traffic. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I found out Alaskans really have nothing to complain about when it comes to traffic.
Yeah, no.
Like, I was, you know, just driving up and down the Glen, you know, fairly frequently. And, you know, I was like, ah, well, that's kind of annoying. It's, you know, kind of, you get a little congested once you get to Anchorage and all that. And went and, like, you know, drove down in Miami for, like, one afternoon. And I was like, good Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's like.
This is irredeemable.
Yeah. Yes. That's what, you know, Dallas is crazy traffic. Seems like just 24/7. It just seems like the entire city just does not stop moving. And, oh, that was just so rough. And then up here, it's like, yeah, traffic for a little bit. But then it's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, even, like, the phrase commuting is completely different, like, Alaska to, like, the lower 48. Because when we talk about commuting, like, for us in Alaska, it's like, you know, 30, 40-minute scenic drive.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a wreck on the highway and everyone gets delayed, but... that is definitely a rare exception.
Very rare.
It's not the norm, but in, like, you know, Dallas, San Antonio, like, you're just bumper to bumper stress traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. It's like, what is...
Like, where is everyone going? Yeah.
I will say that my 20-minute commute to the hospital turned into a 3-hour commute. Wednesday or Tuesday? I can't remember which one. But I was sitting in Eagle River for 3 hours because they had shut down the highway. And so...
You were in traffic for an hour and a half, and you turned around and went home.
Okay, yes. But my work thinks that I was in traffic for 3 hours. because I didn't want to just sit there while, you know, I'm watching my fuel get lower and lower and lower. But they had shut down the highway just past Muldoon, so it was backed up from Muldoon all the way to Chugiak. So
yeah, see, your sympathy really goes way down once you drive here. Like, you see everyone just, because that's like a quarter or like a third of the state just late for work just because someone just thought they were more important than they were and cut somebody off and got into a wreck.
Exactly.
Which I heard happens a lot during like the breakup season because people are taking their snow tires off. And so they're confident with their snow tires, and then you put your street tires back on, and there are more accidents because people think, oh, it snowed last night, it's fine, and they drive like they do if they had snow tires on. So
I can see that, and also what we see is around, like, the first snow of the year, like, I avoid driving on the roads for a couple of days because what it is you have a lot of, you know, it's such a transitory state, so a lot of the people who are here, like, we'll just say like a quarter, well, that might be a little high, but yeah, we'll say like 10% to like a quarter of the people on the road have not actually driven up here before.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people who are way more confident than they should be just driving like freaking maniacs out there.
Like you would on the roads in Texas, you know?
Yeah, it's like, and it's always these big monster trucks that end up in the ditch, and it's like, every year it's so predictable. So, avoid driving on the roads for, I'd say, 2 days or so and after the first snowfall.
Yeah,
I was talking with my work, and I was like, okay, so during the winter, I probably need to bring my laptop home with me in case just decide, you know what, I'm just going to work from home today.
And so, nothing wrong with that, you know. Sometimes that's just what you got to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those were kind of some of the concerns you guys had getting into it. What were some of the initial challenges to getting up here?
We talked a lot about, okay, do we drive or do we fly? We talked about driving up to Washington and getting on the ferry, but then the ferry was closed for I can't remember how many months, so we couldn't do that. And then we were going to drive the Alcan, and we were really excited about it. But the way that my job lined up, we just didn't have the time from when we left Abilene to when my job started. So we decided to fly, and
which limited
what
very
we
much how much stuff we could bring. Yeah.
Yeah. So we ended up packing 4 suitcases, and that's what we brought with us. So we landed here in Anchorage with nothing but 4 suitcases.
Something liberating about that. But yeah, it that in of itself, like selling and like paring down all your stuff is that's a emotional process in and of itself.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Initially, it was difficult just because of all the emotions going on with a move in general. But as we got into it, it got easier and easier. And a lot of the stuff that we had, you know, we had bought as newlyweds or we had bought as college students. So a lot of the stuff we had was cheap or hand-me-downs or garage sale. Or I think I had a couch that I had pulled out of a dumpster when I was in college at one point.
Oh, God.
So a lot of the stuff that we had was kind of at the point in its life where it was ready to get upgraded.
Yep.
So almost all of our furniture was ready to go anyways. And we were like, we're good with getting rid of it. The hard stuff was just some of the
more sentimental pieces.
Yeah, like more sentimental pieces and camping equipment.
We had a whole nursery set. We had made, we had painted the wall of the nursery. We had a beautiful custom-made nursery set, crib and everything. And we had bought it when we were pregnant with our son last May. Well, we ended up losing him. And so having to decide, okay, do we put this in storage? Do we get it up to Alaska? That was a very emotional process for us. We ended up giving it to a family who really needed it. So that kind of made me feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one that we really talked about for a long time. What do we do with this, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, in really these moves like really bring all those conversations like right to the forefront. It just forces the issue and like all these issues.
Yeah,
and I gotta say the setting up the whole nursery for the baby and all that, that is such a sham. It is such a sham that everyone feels pressure to do, but no, that baby is not sleeping in that nursery for months and months and months afterwards.
Yep. And that's one of the conversations we had, too.
Yeah, we actually went to Target because we're expecting our daughter now, and he was like, do you like any of these, you know, cribs at Target? And I was like, honestly, I really, really don't. And we ended up just bringing home just a little bassinet to set up by the bed. By our bed, because we're not going to need a nursery right away. I mean, she's going to be sleeping in our room anyways. Mm-hmm. So.
You've got time to be picky. Like,
yeah, we don't have to get something right now.
Don't buy just the first crib you see at Walmart. Like, if you find one you like, we can have it shipped up here. You know, we can figure something out. You know, we've got plenty of time. I mean, the room doesn't even need to be ready on the day she's born. So, it's like we've got plenty of time to set this up, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've seen that room you guys are using for the nursery. It's going to take some coats of paint to get that color.
That teal blue is just something else, that's for sure.
So, like, teal, but also so dark somehow. Yes. I don't know how they pulled that off, but.
Yeah, we've been having the conversation, is the light dimmer, or is the paint just that dark that room seems dark?
It absorbs light. Like
it does. Oh
man.
I'm sure that, you know, whoever lived in that room loved the color, but it is not for us.
Yeah, it was probably not a baby girl.
No, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, if you put you put Lily in there, she's probably going to come out like gothic when she's older.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's what's
going
to happen.
I'm going for light pink and flowers, you know.
And she's Irish, so, you know, we got to stay away from the sun, but I don't think we need to put her in a dark room, you know. We can have a little more sunlight in there.
Yeah.
There's a scale here. It doesn't have to be like one or the other.
Right. Yeah. So that was difficult moving up here. And then also we weren't able to bring our dogs. So I think it was yet. It was what, like 5 days before we were going to board our American Airlines flight. And I was like, you know, let me do a little research because we had heard that you can bring your dogs, you know, just in a kennel, cargo space, all that. Well, it turns out that you cannot fly your dogs on American Airlines. Alaskan Airlines, you show up 2 hours before, you check your dog in, they say, okay, great, $100 for each dog, and that's it.
Yeah,
for
they
Alaskan.
Just count as checked bags. Mm-hmm. So.
But for American Airlines, they do not do that. So in 5 days, we had to make other arrangements for our dogs down in Texas, which they're fine. They're living with his parents, and both of their litter mates are his parents' dogs. So they're sisters. They love it, but it was we're at the point where we really want them now. So.
It was a blessing in disguise that we weren't able to bring them up initially just because we did have to spend almost a full month in an Airbnb.
That was rough.
But we're at the point now where we're ready for them to be up here. So now it's like, okay, let's figure this out.
This is part of making this feel like home now.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, probably sooner rather than later, you guys want to get them up here. I mean, for, you know, both the element of just making it feel more like home, but also Alaska Airlines has very specific rules on how hot it can be on the tarmac before they come up here. Because I've flown a dog before, and I think it was like 97 or so was like the max heat they would allow before they said, yeah, we just can't do this. And, definitely created some issues. I remember I had to go to the airport, I think it was like two or three times, just because, you know, it looked like it was going to be borderline, and it was like, I think it was like around that June, July time frame.
Yep.
And it was like, you know, it's hot in Texas, so it's like, well, am I just not going to be able to ship this dog till like September? Yeah. Like, yeah. So, yeah, the springtime, you know, probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get him up. Hopefully here in the summer.
And if we can't fly him, his parents are thinking about doing an RV trip up through the Alcan, and we're going to meet him halfway in Canada and do a little exchange of dogs and personal items that we didn't get to bring up, you know.
Yeah, it'd be
Be careful how you word that with the Border Patrol people.
Yeah.
We're going to do an exchange about halfway through your country.
Maybe not.
That plan is very much in the talking stages.
Yes.
We need to figure out the Canadian legality of all that stuff. I know they can be a little bit strict. And I mean, I fully understand, you know, if you tell them, yeah, my parents are bringing dogs up and a whole bunch of our stuff, and we're going to meet halfway in the middle of your country and exchange things. That looks a little bit weird.
It looks a little sketchy.
Even if it is 100% on the up and up. I mean, the U.S. Border Patrol would be a little bit weird with that, too. So I understand how if they were like, I don't know about that. But we'll see. We'll see what we can do. Yeah.
Maybe one of these weekends, one of us will just fly down to Texas and bring our dogs back, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How big are they?
Husky and Golden.
Got a husky in Texas. That is bold.
Yeah.
And she does not like the cold.
Yeah, she's a Texas girl.
She is.
It starts getting cold in Texas and she just will not go outside.
No, she was his dog originally. And when we met and started dating, like, I think we were 3 months into dating and I stole his dog from him. I was like, she's mine now. She's going to live with me.
I was in college apartments. I couldn't have her.
She had
her own apartment, so she was like, well, I'm going to take your dog. I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
So I got this little one-bedroom apartment for me and Kiva, but learned very quickly that Kiva does not do the cold very well. She's a little lady, and she knows what she likes, and the cold and snow is not one of those things. So it'll be an adjustment for her, but she's a little bit older and kind of a couch potato now, so it'll work.
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, genetically, breed wise, at least she'll be well adjusted. Attitude,
right.
we'll see.
Yeah.
So, what were some of the differences you guys noticed between Alaskan houses and Texas houses, like off the bat? Because I mean, you guys had a bit of a whirlwind tour while you were up here,
right?
You want to say the first thing that we thought of?
There's no like stone and brick houses up here, which we thought was super weird.
The first thing we thought, as we were looking at houses on Zillow, and on like Google Street View and that kind of stuff, like we were like literally cruising through the streets of Anchorage and Eagle River on Google Street View and just like window shopping, you know, from Google. And the first thing we notice is, and we both didn't even realize that we were noticing this, but we were looking at all these houses and none of them were just jumping out at us. All of them were like, yeah, it looks good, looks fine. Mm-hmm. It was like, they just look so different. And we were like, why do these houses look so different? And then it occurred to us that, like she said, brick and rocks is what you build houses out of in Texas. They're all brick. They're all rock.
You don't get a whole lot of houses with siding on it.
But the houses that you do get with siding are mobile homes. So we were like,
They
don't look like mobile homes, obviously, but we were almost having that vibe just in our head that it was all like manufactured homes just because none of them had any brick or rock.
And then we would go up in like the price range on Zillow, and then you'd start to see some with a little bit of stone on the front.
Yeah, we looked at like a $1.2 million home.
And we were like, we really like that one. Well, it had stone on it.
Well, it had a little tiny bit of stone, but it was still mostly siding.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, this isn't the cheap way to build. This is just the way they build in Alaska. Like, the reason the manufactured homes in Texas are built with siding is because brick doesn't transport down the road very well. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, the brick homes, you can't do that with manufactured home, or you can't do the manufactured homes. But then up here, you know, earthquakes don't love brick houses all that much either.
Yeah, and that really is what it is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you'll see like some buildings like churches and stuff like that that have kind of that that brick or a stone siding. And when there's an earthquake, I mean, you can see most of the stone and brick just collapse right over, because like all that mortar between the stones, like it shifts, it cracks and just releases all the stones right onto the ground. So
yeah,
that's the thought process.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had to kind of adjust our thinking in regards to the siding on houses, because at first we were like, everything looks not necessarily like cheap, but and that's what it was in our minds, you know? So we kind of had to adjust our reality a little bit and be like, okay, all the houses are built out of this, you know?
Yeah. Once we did kind of realize that that's what our thought process was, and we were like, okay, so we need they're not mobile homes.
Yeah.
You know, they are very much, they're very much permanent.
Mm-hmm.
But once we kind of realized that that's why we were kind of having that initial little bit of a standoff reaction from some of these houses, we're like, okay, so we just need to kind of rethink what a house is going to look like for us up in Alaska. And actually what we did next was we looked at like $1 million homes. Like we just went and looked at outrageously expensive homes all over the state of Alaska just to get an idea for what is like a luxury home here. And that actually helped because it was like, okay, this isn't
that's the ceiling.
This isn't the cheap way to build. It's just another way to build.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went back and started looking at stuff closer to our price range, then we were like, okay, like you can see the beauty and the understand the architecture just a little bit better. And then it was a little bit easier for us to look at some of these houses. But I mean, we still like a brick house, we still like a stone house, but for obvious reasons they don't work great up here. So
yeah.
Have you guys noticed any other big differences in the houses from Texas to Alaska?
Most of the garages up here will have a drain, and most of the garages are heated, which was a really big change because in Texas, you don't want a heated garage. There's no point in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Looking back though, at Texas, man, I could use an air conditioning unit in my garage, though.
That would have been nice.
Man. I gotta say, I like this whole heated garage, and I like the floor drain thing. Man, that thing is handy.
We did not understand why the garages had a floor drain. We could not understand until I think it was you that pointed out, Well, it's because you got snow on your car, you pull it in, the snow's got to go somewhere, it goes down the drain.
Well, we were asking about the drain for the water heater, and It was like, oh, there isn't a drain pan for the water heater because it'll just drain to the garage. And I was like, well, how does it drain to the garage? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, well, through the garage drain. And I was like, what's a garage drain? I was like, what is that?
It's like you're using so many terms that make no sense now.
Let's start from square one. All right. So what is a house? It's like, okay. So garage drain and then the ice damming.
Yes.
That was one that I definitely had to YouTube that for a little bit to understand what to look for and understand kind of what's the potential risk for that,
mm-hmm.
What to do to prevent it and all that kind of stuff. And there's been a lot of YouTube university on just all kinds of homeownership stuff up here.
How to live in Alaska, yeah.
All that good maintenance stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you grow up in, you know, Texas for me and, you know, wherever you're at, and, you know, you grow up there for so long, you pick up stuff that you don't even realize you picked up, you know. So something in Texas, someone might look at a home in Texas in Abilene, and they'll see, you know, drywall cracks everywhere, and they're like, oh, man, you know, this looks bad. But it's like, Abilene shifts all the time. The soil is, like, mm-hmm. always shifts. So, like, every single house in Abilene has got drywall cracks all over it.
Yeah, our house in Abilene would shift via, you know, winter versus the spring shift. Like half the year the garage door would close, half the year the garage door wouldn't close.
Well, we had two locks on the garage door. One was the winter lock and one was the summer lock.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because one lock would lock during the summer and then the other one would only lock during the winter because the house would shift and the door frame would be that much. And it would be like a half inch difference between those locks.
Yeah. I mean, I've got that a little bit on a property over in Wasilla where... Yeah, like the master bathroom door, it'll close during the summertime and just not so much during the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And we had our foundation was checked twice and by an engineering firm, and they were like, yeah, no problems. You're good.
Yeah. It's just the way that it is in Abilene. Abilene is.
So there's stuff like that that, you know, you get used to. And then you come up here, and what are those little quirks that is perfectly normal and perfectly fine, like no issue. It's just a quirk. And so it's learning some of those quirks and understanding when they can be an issue and when they're not an issue.
Like trying to understand a boiler system, that's something completely new to us. So we've had to kind of talk through, because whenever the heat comes on in our house, it makes this really funky noise. And the first time I noticed it was when I was in the garage doing laundry. And I called Riley and I was like, there's this really weird noise coming from this big box thing in the garage. Like, I think it's about to explode. And he was like, no, that's the boiler system. That's the heat for the house. It's completely normal. And I was like, there's no way this noise can be normal. And I was like, it sounds like a, you know, I was like trying to explain it to him. And he was like, yes, it's igniting. You know, that's how you get heat. So learning those little things that are so normal up here for an Alaskan, but for a Texan, I've never seen or used a boiler system before. So definitely interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. So have you guys had any earthquakes?
No.
You can remember felt yet? Okay.
One earthquake in Abilene. I was like up studying at like 4:30 in the morning, and I had a little tremor, and I texted him, and I was like, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. But that's the only earthquake I've ever been in. We haven't felt anything up here in Alaska.
They're pretty small in Abilene.
Surprising, because everyone was like, oh, you got to watch out for the earthquakes. And nothing yet, I think.
Yeah, I think we've had like one or two since you guys have been here. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they've not really been like headline-worthy kind of earthquakes. I mean, knock on wood, we don't have any huge earthquakes rolling through anytime soon. But yeah, that's going to be fun. That's going to be part of the initiation.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a first for me. But that was one of the other concerns we had. And I remember we were talking about it. And I was like, you know, the possibility of earthquakes, you know, made me nervous. And then I thought, okay, but there's 800,000 people living up here. So obviously it's not like Anchorage just destroys itself every single year. So it's like, okay, well, you know, they expect them, they're built for them. It's kind of trusting the local engineers that they built houses correctly and built office buildings correctly. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's going to be natural disasters anywhere because, I mean, someone moving from Alaska to Texas might be just as concerned about tornadoes.
Or hail.
Or hail. Yeah.
Hail, that's the...
You're moving to Florida, you're concerned about hurricanes. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, you know... Good thing to be concerned about.
Some of those coastal towns that really do get rebuilt every single year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like I was looking at some properties like down in Florida, and it was like, you know, I don't think I really want the brand new stuff down there.
Right.
That's not a new neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Florida, and I've never really lived on the coast before, but I've always wondered about those places where hurricanes are often. And they're slightly destructive.
It's it was wild. I was talking to a friend of mine down there, and they have what they call hurricane parties, where
that's,
it's like,
interesting.
All of our food in the freezer, like power's about to go out, like that's like for sure, that's a given. So everyone's got like all their freezer, and they're like, okay, well, we got to eat all this stuff here,
right?
And so they just have like one big barbecue, invite all the neighbors over.
That's too funny. Well, my parents, so my sister actually went to school for a year and a half down in Florida. You know, she wanted to get out of Texas and she wanted something different, so she picked Florida. Well, when she was there, my parents were talking about purchasing like a little house down in Florida so they could go stay vacation, you know, things like that. And then they were like, oh, but we have to get hurricane insurance. And hurricane insurance is not cheap. And they were like, you know, I don't think so, because it's just, it's a given. You know, you need that insurance for a reason. So.
Yeah, because it's, I think it's like $200-$300, like, in and of itself. So it starts getting expensive if you can find a company that still provides it. But Yeah, Florida problems.
Yeah, right. That's why we didn't move there. So
fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah, that's the reason.
So have you guys had any issues with the sunlight so far? Because you showed up like right around like that transition period, mm-hmm. and now the sunlight's, you know, fading out right around like 9:30,
yeah.
10 o'clock really is when it goes down. So
yeah.
How are you guys adjusting to the sunlight?
So far, it's actually been really, really nice. I mean, I'll say, other than, you know, making sure getting to bed at a reasonable hour, you know, it's pretty easy to be awake, and then you look up and it's dark, and you're like, oh, look, it's dark, and it's like, oh, because it's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
It's like, I work in the morning, man. It's time for bed. But other than that, it's actually been kind of nice to where you kind of have an extra hour of the day. So, I mean, you know, we're usually not heading to bed until, you know, 9:30-ish, if not 10. So instead of sitting on the couch in a dark living room from 8 to 9, oftentimes we'll go out and shop or explore a little bit. So it's kind of get an extra hour of the day. So right now it's nice, but we'll see when it gets lighter and lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've found it's actually bailed me out a lot during the summertime with my little adventures I'll go on because, mm-hmm. you know, just after work, it's like 7 o'clock at night or something like that. I'm finally out of the office and get a chance to go and do something, and you lose track of time, and before you know it, it is like 11 o'clock midnight. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if there weren't light out here, I'd kind of be in trouble right now.
Yeah,
yeah. After work, I usually go to the gym, and I'm usually not back until about 7:30 or 8, but it's nice and it's still light, so I get to drive home in the daylight, mm-hmm. and then if we want to go out to eat for something, then we're still in the daylight. So at the moment, it's been pretty nice, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I will say that
our blinds are nice and dark.
They mm-hmm. are nice and dark. We cracked it last night because we actually got a kitten this past week because we were just really needing something else in the house, right? So we got this little bitty tiny kitten. And so we had to close the door to our bedroom because I don't want her falling down the stairs and all that, you know, all that stuff. So we closed the doors to our bedroom and it gets hot in there. So we cracked open the window all night last night and it was the perfect temperature, but it let sunlight in really early this morning. He got up at like 5:30. And when I woke up, it was light outside, and I was sitting there, and I was like, it's light outside. It's got to be like 8:30, right? No, I looked at my watch, and it was like 6:52.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really?
I mean, that was kind of me this morning, too. I mean, I woke up, like, wired at, like, 3 a.m. or something like that and couldn't get back to sleep for the longest time. So, yeah, around this time of year, you get, like, weird transition periods mm-hmm. where your body's just not sure what's going on. It's hard to... Is it the sciatic?
Oh, the circadian rhythm.
That's it, yeah. The circadian rhythm. Like, I feel like that's hard to establish when the sunlight is just constantly mm-hmm. changing that much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know it changes everywhere, but, you know, not from about 6 hours of daylight versus, like, you know, 18.
Right.
Yeah.
Like 20 hours of daylight.
For sure.
As an early riser, it's nice, too, because, you know, I get up at 5:30. And it's not dark until 8. You know, what'd you say? It was light around 7 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what time it was. 7. Really, I think it was like 6 a.m. that it was starting to get light.
Yeah.
But you know, you're not sitting in the dark for hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get up and actually start doing things. It's kind of nice.
So now that you guys are up here, is, you know, Alaska everything that you thought it would be? Like, what? How is the expectation versus the reality, like, stacked up so far?
I think you might need to check back in a couple months on that one.
Yeah, after breakup season.
That's fair.
I think at the moment, I mean, the honest answer is we're kind of holding on for summer right now. You know.
Yeah.
We have gotten to do some stuff that we did really hope for. We went up to Hatcher's Pass. Last weekend?
Yeah, last weekend.
Went to Hatcher's Pass, and we stayed in an off-grid castle up there. It was just a blast. Did a whole bunch of off-roading and everything, and that was definitely one of the things that we were like, this is why we want to go up here, is for the off-road adventures that we can have. So that was a lot of fun. Ice fishing, you know, we've been once, but with it getting warmer and warmer.
We've been getting a little nervous going out on the
considering
ice.
Considering the three times I've seen a frozen lake has all been in the past month, so I'm a little bit anxious about frozen water at the moment.
Yeah, like even, so a couple weeks ago, you know, we had that meetup and, like, we were planning on going, like, ice fishing, but I kind of chickened out because I was like, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable taking a big group out onto the ice right at the moment because it was melting so fast a month ago.
Yeah,
and, of
really
course,
was.
The next, what was it, 2 days later, we had a massive snowstorm.
Yeah.
And it was back down to 20 degrees. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's just taunting us now, you know?
Yeah, winter's really a bad loser around this time of year.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
You've been slacking for, like, the last month and a half, and now you show up at, like, the last hour trying to act tough. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I went ahead and bought some ice fishing gear. Obviously, it was pretty cheap now that we're at the end of the season. So, you know, got a pretty good deal on a little ice hut and some rods and reels and just some little pieces here and there to use. So
we'll be all set up for next season.
That's why I said, you know, for next season, we'll be great, you know. So
yeah. That's a big hack up here. You just buy off season and usually get some good deals that way.
Yeah, we've been still just buying in little bits and pieces of various winter gear because we have none. So I think we moved
haven't
up.
Had to, yeah.
No,
exactly.
I think I moved up here with like two small jackets. And was it the first week we were here? I was like, I need a jacket.
Yeah. Like, he's like, it's kind of cold. And I'm
it's
like,
cold
yeah.
Up here, man. Who knew? Who knew it'd be so cold? But yeah, and vests. Bought some vests and different stuff. And fleece lined pants. Didn't know those existed. But, man, are they nice.
Mm-hmm. You can get them at Costco, we have discovered.
Yeah, it feels like wearing pajamas.
Yep.
Yes. That's a game changer right there. I like these pants.
It's like, I can die happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, we're looking forward to summer. We're enjoying the season right now just because it's a lot of new things, and we're doing our best to get out and try some stuff. We're at the Matsu Outdoor RV show this morning.
That was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun.
Is that what the stamp was?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
was
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We don't
okay.
go stamp clubbing or anything, but, you know, we do go to the RV show.
Okay. I was like, man, they like to party. Okay.
Yeah, not clubbing. We were just looking at RVs. A little different.
Yeah, I think I was in bed by 8 o'clock last night because I was tired. We don't really club, but those RV shows, that'll get you.
Oh, yeah, those RV shows go hard, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So do you guys have any big plans or anything you want to do during the summer? I mean, we've got September till Lily's here, so, I mean, you've got some sunlight, figuratively and literally, where you can get out and enjoy. So do you have any big plans?
Yeah, we do, actually. We're going to do July 4th in Homer. We've had several people tell us that that's a fun one to do, either Homer or Seward. I'm not quite sure yet. I've had some people say Seward's better, some people say Homer's better, and neither of them ever agree, so we'll see. But and then hopefully Memorial Day, we're going to go up to Fairbanks and a little cruising up there, maybe do some hot springs up there. Mm-hmm. So
we're trying to decide if we want to go up to Fairbanks or if we want to go down to Homer and do some halibut fishing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The halibut you get in Seward is going to be just as good as the halibut you get in Homer. And Homer kind of just did this big power move and, like, took the halibut capital of the world. But you look at the map, like, where the vessels actually go to. It's the exact same spots.
And it's faster to get to Seward. So.
Way faster.
A lot faster.
Way faster. Now, I will say, if you're spending a couple of days, I would probably just go to Homer because, mm-hmm. you know what, I'll just say it. The people in Homer are a lot nicer. And, yeah, I could tell you stories. But let's say I love going to Seward, and it's not because of the people necessarily.
Yeah,
well, we definitely got a whole lot of fishing on the docket to do this summer.
Well, for Riley's birthday is Christmas. So we always, you know, everyone celebrates Christmas, and then it's like, oh yeah, Riley, here's your birthday gift, you know, and it's wrapped in Christmas wrapping because we forgot. Well, this past Christmas, I was like, I'm going to do something big for his birthday. So I actually bought him a fly fishing trip down in Cooper's Landing, mm-hmm. I think is what it's called. Well, I had booked it. I bought it in November. I booked it for August 24th? Well, my due date is September 4th, and she's big, so we're thinking she's probably going to make her appearance a little bit earlier, and I keep telling Riley, no, go on the fly fishing trip, you know, bring Mike, who they're about to move up here for the military, and I'm like, you guys go, and he'll be, and he was like, if I go and you go into labor, and I'm like, I'll be fine. You go. Do your fly fishing. But he's very hesitant to do so.
Because here's the problem as a guy. Like, if you do go into labor, like, that is a forever thing on your record as a husband and a father. It gets passed down from family memory. So it's like, I totally get it.
Well, if I want the stories, what was your dad doing? Oh, he was fishing.
He was fishing.
Yeah, but that trout, though, it was a big sucker, man.
Got that one mounted.
Yeah. You were born 2 days after your dad caught that. How do you like that?
But he's always wanted to fly fish, and I bought it before we found out that we were pregnant. And I was planning on going. It's like a 12-hour fly fishing trip, and it's supposed to be beautiful and so much fun.
Surely they can reschedule a little, right?
I told her I'd send her
a postcard, you know?
I'm sure they can. We just haven't inquired about that. But that is on the docket for this summer, so more fishing.
Okay.
But
well, maybe call them sooner rather than later. Right. Like, everything, like, fills up so quick with their schedule.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It'll be fun either way.
Yeah. So kind of talking a little bit about the kind of get plugged into like community and like groups up here. Have you guys found any churches or things that you've plugged into where it's been kind of easy so far?
We've been going to ACF Church, and it's very similar to our church in Texas. So that's been nice to kind of have something.
It's been comforting.
That mm-hmm. feels familiar. Yeah. Have we tried other churches? We tried one other one that was very small. It was good. It was fine. A little long-winded preacher, but, you know, you get that. So, we haven't branched out to many different churches yet, and maybe ACF is just the one that we're going to stick with. But it's just, at the moment, it's comforting. So, you know, familiar.
Feels like home.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, ACF is actually like the church I go to, like 11:30, like I'll mm-hmm. volunteer like with the camera crew and everything and, you know, help out with the kind of behind the scenes production. And so that's really good. They've got tons of life groups you can go join, and that's really awesome too. And
that's what we're looking at getting into, is doing some of those.
Yeah, we just need to make that next step and actually, you know, go to these groups. We just haven't quite.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, it's uncomfortable, like, the first couple times because you're showing up at somebody's house and you don't know everyone. It's like they're trying to include you, but it's like, I feel like I'm dragging everyone down.
I'll say, as far as the people go up here, very similar to Texas.
Right? Like,
very similar.
You never meet a stranger up here. I mean, we were at the outdoor show today. And some guy walked in the RV, and he was like, man, this place is nice. I was like, yeah, it is. And he was like, yeah. So what are y'all up to? Like, looking at RVs. He's like, yeah, me too. Just looking around. He's like, yeah, I had that hot dog place just down there. Just, like, started talking. I was like, All right, man. That's good to see you.
We actually met somebody from Abilene, Texas at the RV show today.
Yeah, some people from Tyler, Texas, and another guy from Abilene, Texas at the RV show.
Like, how random is that, you know?
Yeah, well, what it is Alaska is such an energy state that a lot of people who work on the oil field are actually coming up from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them decide they're going to stay. So that's where the connection is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does.
We were joking that there's a lot of Alaska is just Texans who are fed up with the heat. So
we've noticed that there's a lot of Texans up here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm sure they get up here and find out pretty quickly Texas is just kind of like the state pastime up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, and meanwhile, I wish I could say it was like a rivalry, but it's not. You know, Texas has no clue. Like,
no,
Alaska, they don't care. Alaska's throwing the shade.
No, no. Well, I will say, yeah, we're from Texas, and all the Alaskans are like, oh, okay, so you moved to the bigger state, and
just
it's like
right on cue.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're like, yeah,
sure.
I think it's a little different for you know, when you're living in Texas. Alaska's so apart from the continental U.S. So Texas is the biggest state in the continental, and it very much feels like the biggest state in the continental. You know, so like the other states are very small, and they talk about, you know, oh yeah, we went like three states over to do this, and two states over to do this, and it's like we're lucky if we get to leave our state. Like it's just so big, you just can't leave it. And Alaskans understand that, but also they've got like the, you know, we're bigger than Texas, and Texas is like, oh yeah, okay, cool.
Couldn't care less. Cool. Yeah. Come talk to us when your entire population is bigger than a suburb of Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like there's more people in Dallas than there is up in the entire state.
Yeah.
Which is why we didn't move to Dallas.
Yeah, that's why we didn't move to Dallas.
Fair enough. All right, so kind of from your perspective, I mean, we know this is still pretty early, and I mean, this list can easily change in a couple months here, but what would you guys put so far as kind of the pros and the cons for you guys for Alaska, and we'll say Eagle River specifically as well?
I would say one of the biggest pros is the availability of outdoor opportunities close by. Within an hour of Eagle River, we can do everything from deep sea fishing to a little stream in the middle of nowhere or a little pond. I mean, stocked trout fishing and deep sea halibut within an hour of Eagle River, pretty much.
And you can do hiking. And you've got biking. And
yeah, we can leave our house, drive 5 minutes, and go hike up a mountain.
Yeah.
And just stunning scenery. Yeah. And then also,
you've got skiing. There's so many places, even like in Anchorage, to go skiing, like Hilltop. I mean, it's not a very big ski slope, but it's a ski slope.
Bigger than the one in Abilene or all of Texas.
That's true.
Touché.
Yeah.
So there's so much opportunity to get out of your house and do things, even in the winter, even when it's freezing cold outside, you still have the availability and the opportunity to do things, you know, and we didn't really have that in Abilene. So.
Yeah, I would say, you know, one of the things that we were concerned about was, you know, winter is just, you know, what happens when we get bored. But moving up here, we quickly realized, you know, if you get really bored during the winter, it's kind of your own fault because there are winter activities to do up here, and you can stay warm. You just need the right gear. You know, the difference between a cold ski trip and a warm ski trip is a good jacket. And the opportunity to be able to do all that stuff within a day's trip from Eagle River is just so nice. You know, in Abilene, our weekend trips, if we wanted just a slight change in scenery, it was minimum 3-hour drive. And even then, it really wasn't a change of scenery.
We're going to see blue bonnets.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
We might get a little more oak and a little less mesquite if we drive about 3 hours away from Abilene. But that's about the change in scenery that you're going to get. And You know, and up here, you could argue that the scenery might be the same as far as mountains and rivers and streams, but it's the things that you can do, you know, without owning 100 acres.
Yeah. Because down in Texas, we were planning on buying acreage because we wanted to be able to go four-wheeling. We wanted to run cattle eventually. Hunting. We wanted to hunt. But you need a ton of land to do so.
Yeah, because everything is privately owned in Texas.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a really good point.
And it's expensive.
We know people. Yeah, and we know people who have a good bit of acreage, but they still will lease or rent hunting leases. Mm-hmm. Because the acreage that they're on just isn't good enough hunting. So up here, that would be just crazy foreign to an Alaskan to be like, I own
so
land and also I purchase land to go hunt on. I mean, Alaskans would be like, what, why? Why did you do that? What do you mean you're paying for land? You know, that stuff just comes free, right? But that's been the biggest pro, is just having all those opportunities for the outdoors lifestyle and camping lifestyle, mm-hmm. and hunting, fishing that we want to do. So
I will say that I have this like really silly fear of bears. And I have had to have Riley buy me some bear spray. Which,
and bear bells. Bears hate Christmas.
Yes, mm-hmm. they do.
They really don't like Santa Claus at all.
But it's funny because he'll be like, okay, let's go hiking. Like, what was it? 2 weekends ago, he wanted to go hiking. And I was like, we don't have any bear protection. And my coworker said that the bears are starting to come out. And I was like, I am not going until you get me some bear spray. He got me some bear spray. So now we're good to go hiking. But, like, this just this unrealistic fear that I'm going to walk out my front door and there'll be a bear, which I heard that really doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, they're not looking for you. Yeah, they're not, unless it's like a really exceptional bear, like they're not looking after humans. Now, if it's a polar bear, yeah, like be concerned. They're carnivores. They only eat meat and they see us as part of the menu.
Yeah. Yeah.
So stay away from those Eagle River polar bears.
Yeah, stay away from the polar bears in Eagle River. They're going to mess you up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the most part, you know, be loud. And really the big thing, too, is just be aware when you're hiking and you're coming around a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware that there is such a noise difference between this side of the corner and the other side.
Right.
Like, I really appreciated this a little bit ago. There was, like, a turn in, like, the trail, and there's a waterfall around it.
Mm-hmm.
Standing here, could not hear the waterfall, stepped over here, like, you know, it was right there and loud as anything. So when you're just coming around corners, just be aware. You can be making a lot of noise, but if you're going to run into something, it's usually going to be in a scenario like that.
Right.
So. But, yeah, just, I mean, I've spent a lot of time hiking on my own and all that, mm-hmm. so it's, you know, just be aware of everything, and you'll be fine. And I'm sure all your neighbors have already told you, but obviously don't put your trash out, like, the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that, and so we did the bear can from, was it, Anchorage Wastewater or whatever. So we did the little bear trash can thing. And I had two of my neighbors ask why we spent money on the bear can. They're like, there's no bears here. I don't know why you spent the bear can. And I was like, well, don't you get in trouble? They're like, sort of. There's no bears here. So I was like, well.
Yeah, the bears come up from the river.
It gives us peace of mind. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah,
but we're protected from neighbors and things like that. But we got the bear can, and I'm still trying to figure out how to open it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you're walking down in Crocs and pajamas at 5 a.m. with a bag of stinking trash, and then you can't open the bear can,
and it's
snowing.
Cold.
I'm just going to put this in the neighbors. Like.
Exactly.
It's getting pretty close to being like, you know what? I don't care. Set it on top.
Yeah. Throw it in somebody's yard.
There's a bear can and a Riley can. Man, I can't get in the thing.
It's like child-proofed. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say about the only time I have quasi run into like a bear has been when I was just running through a neighborhood in Eagle River. Like, I mean, I've run out in Eglutna, and I mean, I've had like bears like snuffling like right next to me as I'm running, and they're in like, you know, the thick brush and everything, so you can't see them. You can hear them, you can't see them. That's really nerve wracking. Wouldn't recommend that. But yeah, we do get them fairly frequently because we've got that Chugach Park.
Yeah.
That's like right here in the area, and you can't really do a whole lot of hunting back there, and so you get like all the bear population just goes out of control, and then they just spread out from there. And so we do get a fair number of black bears, but yeah, I mean they're black bears, and for the most part, I'm a little blasé about it.
Yeah.
But they kind of act like stray dogs. Like every now and then, obviously, give it respect, blah blah blah. Nobody get eaten, come back and sue me. But, but as long as you give them like respectful distance and all that, they're way more skitterish and afraid of you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I. That's what I've heard. I had a patient come in from down in the peninsula, and I was telling them about my, you know, just unrealistic fear, and they're like, "Oh, black bears? Yeah, no, they'll tuck tail and run from you. They don't like people." And so that kind of, okay, made me feel a little bit better, but.
Grizzlies, on the other hand, they will disguise themselves as colleagues, build up trust with you just to take you out later and make that betrayal that much worse.
Yep. With our bear spray, it had like this little, you know your bear pamphlet. And I was like flipping through it, and it was like, you can tell when a bear is upset or anxious by this, this, and this. And this is how you know when they'll attack. And it gave, like, a whole big list. Like, ears back. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of charge at you and then, like, go the other way and then charge at you again. Well, and then at the very bottom of the list, it said, or they can just attack unprovoked. And I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for the list.
What was
and
the
then,
point of the list?
There's a catch-all, protect us for liability purposes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, this is what to look for, but also, if they're awake, they may attack.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a polar bear, it's just like, well, salute the world, you're about to die.
Yeah.
If you see it, it's known about you for probably about an hour already.
Yeah, it's been behind you, stalking you.
Yeah, it's truly terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but usually I'm more concerned about the moose just because...
Everybody keeps saying that. And I'm like, the moose are just like majestic creatures, but everyone's like, no, they will like stomp you.
Yeah, they're not like deer in Texas. They don't skid off and run.
I'm sitting here like, can I pet that moose? Can I pet it? And they're, no, do not touch the moose.
Yeah, and I think it's because we've all been indoctrinated, I think, when we got up here with, like, the videos of people just getting the ever-living daylights just kicked out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why, like, Alaskans have such this visceral gut reaction to the moose. It's founded in a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you have the Iditarod winner just had a little run-in.
Yeah, did you hear about that?
I did, yeah.
That was crazy.
That poor dog, and then he got in trouble for not,
field dressing it enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was such an Alaskan thing.
Yeah, and it's like, and I didn't understand for a while, but, like, the issue was that he didn't, like, pull it off, like, off to the side, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, like, a wide-open space. It was, like, this tight corner mm-hmm. where you come around the corner with dogs, like, you're going to run into this carcass. So it's okay, I can...
Yeah.
Well, kind of see it there. He didn't finish field dressing it, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, guy, I'm not spending half the night to field dress this move.
Yeah.
Especially when his dog needs medical attention, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to do my best to make sure the people behind me have some heads up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a dead moose in the road, but no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll take that 30-minute timeout versus the 6 hours it's going to take me to field dress him. 1,000-pound mm-hmm. animal and hike it out of the trail.
Exactly.
That had to be just about the most Alaskan headline I'd ever seen, though. Dog musher fined for not cleaning moose. Like, wow. You don't get that in Texas.
No, you do not.
Or maybe any of the lower 48.
That's
Hawaii.
That's a pretty unique Alaskan thing.
Yeah. For sure.
Outstanding. Well, guys, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah,
to kind of share your experiences and your perspective, and you know what it's like been like living up in Alaska. Oh, real quick, we actually didn't talk about the cons.
Oh yeah,
Are there really any cons? I think
family and friends.
Well, family and friends.
Yeah,
yes.
There's them, I guess.
Oh yeah, them. I forgot about them. No, definitely family and friends. That's been a big thing. We were FaceTiming his parents last night, and that kind of gave us a little bit of
a little homesick there.
A little bit, you know. And we got to see our dogs last night over FaceTime, and you know, I'm pretty sure that Addie, our golden retriever that has 2 brain cells, doesn't even realize that we're gone.
2 brain cells fighting for 3rd place.
Yeah. But, you know, our dog Kiva realizes, like, hey, mom and dad, you're in the phone. You're not here. You know, where are you? So that was kind of a little moment for us. But Addie didn't even flinch when we were like, oh, my goodness, Addie. She just, you know, whatever. But family and friends, and then on more of like a technical side, we heard that it was going to be a lot more expensive up here, which housing wise, yes, for sure. Keep that in mind. Going out to dinner, yes, you're going to spend $75 to $100 every time you go out for a couple, like just him and me, you can spend that. Now, as far as like groceries, we haven't really noticed too bad of a influx in price.
No.
Especially if you have a Costco card. So that's one thing for anyone thinking about moving up here and they're really nervous about that influx and, you know, food and things like that. Honestly, we haven't really noticed very much when it comes to our bills.
Now that's in Anchorage, I should say.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you go, the farther north you go, the price increases with every mile you increase north.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, Costco's been very affordable. I can't even really say if it's been more expensive than Costco in Lower 48. It might be, but we didn't have a Costco in Abilene. We had a Sam's Club, and I can say it's pretty much on the dot as far as what we spent in Sam's. And Walmart, it might be 10 or 15% more. But it's really nothing that you're going to notice. I mean, you know, you spend $100 on groceries in the Lower 48, you might spend $110 at Walmart here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not hugely crazy.
Like a bag of shredded cheddar down in Abilene was like
$2.22.
And up here it's like $2.30.
It's like $2.44. I mean, it really is just like
really just that, like, little cents, tiny. Which can definitely add up. But it hasn't added up for us so much that it's something that we're necessarily concerned or constantly thinking about.
Yeah, to the point where it's going to be like, we can't live here anymore.
Right.
Right. You know, like I said, out to eat, you definitely feel that more. Now, that might have to do with just kind of our general inflation in the economy right now. We didn't eat out a whole lot in Abilene. Mm-mm. I mean, once you spend 15 years in the same town, you don't really have to try the restaurant that you've been to for 100 times, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
So we've gone out to eat more here than we ever did back home, back in Texas, but
and we definitely see and feel that price difference.
Yeah, I say one nice thing though about the groceries in general is the availability of local ingredients and how it's not. It's not crazy expensive to buy local, and to buy like reindeer sausage is pretty close to the same price as you would get an Eckrich beef sausage or something, you know, a little smoked sausage. And that's actually been kind of nice. I mean, buying local in Abilene, the places that were a little more niche, a little more local, smaller, kind of mom-and-pa type places for groceries and different stuff like that, it was always crazy more expensive. And I guess it was just because it was local. But up here, the local stuff is pretty close to the same price as just your normal stuff. So it's actually been kind of nice to buy the local Alaskan stuff, and a lot of it tastes better. I mean, I don't think we've bought beef sausage. We've been buying reindeer sausage. That's new to us, but it's been great. It's been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was one of our cons that we thought it was going to be, was prices, and it didn't end up being nearly as bad as we thought. But
yeah, more expensive, yeah, but not like, you know, wringing hands and crying every day about it.
Right, right. And not everything is that 30% more expensive.
Yeah,
some things very much are.
Yeah,
yeah.
Produce, fruit, yeah, stuff like that is going to be more expensive.
Right. Cars from a dealership, you know. But, you know, I bought my truck when we moved up here off Facebook Marketplace, a little 2002 F-150 for $6,000, you know.
And it works. Works perfectly great. Well.
160,000 miles, work four-wheel drive, and the guy gave me a set of studded tires and a set of summer tires.
All right. Sold.
Which was pretty new to me. When he told me that, I was like, cool, what are studded tires? But, man, those things are nice during the winter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, cars off of Facebook Marketplace are pretty close to the same price as what a truck would be at in Texas. I mean, I think it's a similar environment. You know, trucks are pricey in Texas, especially four-wheel drive trucks, and they're pricey up here. So that might have something to do with it. But it's not been nearly as bad as we thought it was going to be. What some people said it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, outstanding. All right. Well, guys, I really do appreciate it. And, you know, looking forward to having you guys right down the road. And, you know, hopefully see you guys at all of our meetup events we'll be doing throughout the summer. So looking forward to having you there. And for everyone else who's been listening, thank you very much. And we will catch you next time.